From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. On Friday, Rupert Murdoch announced his new leadership team at Fox News. He and Roger Ailes made Fox News the ratings machine that it is. But now Ailes is out over sexual harassment allegations. And when so much of Fox is a reflection of Roger Ailes, what does his ouster mean for the future of the network? What about the rest of the conservative media landscape, especially as Donald Trump's candidacy divides the GOP? This hour on Point, Fox News without Roger Ailes and the future of conservative media. You can join us on air or online. Do you see the current drama at Fox as the end of Fox News as you've known it? Do you believe that Fox's corporate culture and possibly its news coverage will change under new leadership? Do you think it should? What is lost or gained if Fox is weakened or if it's radically changed by the internal troubles happening there now? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. And joining us from New York is Gabriel Sherman. He is National Affairs Editor at New York Magazine and author of The Loudest Voice in the Room, which is an unauthorized biography of Fox News CEO Roger Ailes. Gabe, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Sasha.
And Gabe, you have very much owned this story. So could you catch us up on some of the flurry of events of recent weeks before we talk about some bigger picture issues? Because on Friday, there were a number of internal management changes announced that many people were looking to as signals for how Fox may change based on what's happened. Give us a little recap.
Yeah, so this story really exploded on July 6th when Gretchen Carlson, the former daytime anchor on Fox News, filed a surprise sexual harassment lawsuit against Roger Ailes personally. We should point out she sued him personally, not the company. And in the wake of that lawsuit, a flurry of women came forward, both Fox News employees and women who have known Roger Ailes for decades, claiming other instances of sexual harassment, and it was this cascade of allegations and really this culture of silence.
Is it clear whether those are all allegations against Roger Ailes, or is it more about wider corporate culture and other men within the organization?
It's actually both. It's both against Roger Ailes personally and other executives at Fox News and other executives at Fox News who may have known about the culture of harassment and who either enabled it or helped cover it up.
And this is pulling in some very big names. I mean, for example, star anchor Megyn Kelly, who's widely thought to be being positioned as the new face of Fox News. She has factored into this. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. So I reported that 21st Century Fox, the parent company of Fox News, retained an outside law firm, Paul Weiss, a very powerful New York law firm, to conduct an investigation. And during the Republican National Convention, I reported that Megyn Kelly was one of the star anchors who testified behind closed doors to the lawyers making her own allegations against Roger Ailes.
You know, this is, as you said, at least 20 women so far. That's a lot of volume. On the other hand, the prominent feminist legal scholar Susan Estrich is serving as one of Ailes' lawyers. And she said that the man being described by the media is simply not the man I know. She says, I don't think anyone in the business has done more to promote the careers of women than Roger. How do we reconcile that?
Well, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. You know, you can say Roger Ailes has promoted women, and you can also say that there are serious allegations of sexual harassment. You know, I wrote a biography of Roger Ailes in 2014, and in my book, I detailed multiple instances of women speaking on the record for the first time about being sexually harassed by Roger Ailes. So for me as a reporter, these allegations are not, while they're sad, they're not surprising. And I think, you know, now we're just seeing the depth and the scope of how serious this pattern of behavior seems to be.
This is making people ask questions about the corporate culture at Fox. And, of course, Fox has been a cash machine for 21st Century Fox, its owner. And that has allowed it, some people wonder, perhaps to operate extremely independently with maybe people not being as rigorous in oversight as they should. Tell us about the corporate culture piece of this.
Yeah, to me, that's really where this story is going. I reported, this is just one example that explains how this culture enabled this behavior. I reported that in 2011, Fox News made a $3.1 million settlement to a former female employee who had claimed Roger Ailes had sexually harassed her for 20 years. And this payment was negotiated by Fox News' general counsel, Diane Brandy. Also on the legal documents that I viewed, the current president of the network, Bill Shine, signed these settlement documents. So this really shows that senior leadership of the company was aware that millions of dollars were being paid to a woman to effectively buy her silence so that these allegations did not go public. And to me, that raises very troubling questions about this culture of silence that Roger Ailes built around him that allowed these really shocking allegations to remain secret for so long.
You mentioned
Diane Brandy, the general counsel, what's noteworthy about her, in my view, is that on Friday, when Fox announced corporate changes, she was not part of the changes. She will remain. And it's been interesting to many people that someone who helped negotiate settlements will remain in her position. And the two people who were elevated to co-president, Bill Shine and Jack Abernathy, are longtime Ailes partners or cohorts, basically. What's your sense of what the corporate management changes were meant to signal?
They are meant to signal a couple of things. One, that Rupert Murdoch, and this was really Rupert Murdoch's decision, as I've reported. You know, his two adult sons, James and Lachlan Murdoch, have been involved. But this was Rupert Murdoch's way of saying, I am not going to be cowed by the media. I am not going to clean house and you know, transform Fox News just because there's been a bunch of negative headlines about it. It was also a way to buy time. Rupert Murdoch is going on to Australia on vacation for the rest of the month, and he really needed to elevate and empower two executives to run the network. As you pointed out, it's 21st Century Fox's most profitable division. So he needed to stabilize the leadership while he, you know, plans for the long term. You know, there's a lot of speculation inside the company that these are not permanent appointments and that it really might be a stopgap until a new management team comes in. But for the short term, at least, this is Murdoch's way of saying that I am going to do what I want and I am not, you know, at least again in the short term, not serious about changing the culture. Because as you pointed out, Bill Shine and Jack Abernathy have worked with Roger Ailes for 20 plus years. And if anything, they represent the Roger Ailes culture.
Gabe, you referenced short-term changes. Does that make you think that more changes are going to come?
Yes. I mean, again, I just from reporting the story and knowing the depth of the allegations, and as Jim Rutenberg in the New York Times wrote today, this story is far from over. So it's very difficult for me to see, based on a lot of things that and other shoes that have yet to drop, that Rupert Murdoch cannot will not be, you know, at some point forced to make additional changes.
Gabriel Sherman, stand by. I want to bring in Hadass Gold. She's a media reporter for Politico, and she joins us from Washington. Hadass, welcome back to On Point to you, too.
Hi, Sasha. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And I want to play two pieces of sound that will give us some sense of where Roger Ailes stands in the hierarchy of Fox News. Of course, he is at the top of it, but in terms of his influence, here's Rush Limbaugh, the conservative radio talk show host, in 2009, introducing Roger Ailes at a Boy Scout Awards dinner. And he was talking about the influence that Ailes has had on Fox News.
One man has established a culture for 1,700 people who believe in it, who follow it, who execute it. Roger Ailes cannot do everything. Roger Ailes is not on the air. Roger Ailes does not ever show up on camera. And yet, everybody who does is a reflection of him.
Again, that was Rush Limbaugh. Now let's hear from Roger Ailes himself. This is sound from 2010 when he was on the Hoover Institution's webcast, Uncommon Knowledge. He was saying that what he did for TV news was simply to see long before most other people did that news was going to become entertainment.
I had a sense of what was going to happen in television, that there would be a mixture of entertainment, information, politics, it's all one now. And if they looked at Jack Parr, they wanted their politicians to be as comfortable as he was telling a story. And Jack Kennedy, of course, changed everything because he was so handsome and articulate. And so I think that the times changed. I was there.
That's Roger Ailes himself speaking. Hadass Gold of Politico, how would you evaluate or summarize the influence, the impact that Ailes has had on Fox News over the past 20 years?
I mean, I think that he's been absolutely instrumental in influencing all of media. There have been other executives from other news networks who have come out and said, you know, whatever you thought about him and his politics and how he ran his network, his influence on the entire television industry is hard to overestimate. There was a former, I think it was an MSNBC executive who wrote an op-ed about it, that, you know, everybody had to respond to him. And we saw that response. We saw that reflected in other types of media, everything from that opinion-type programming that we also see, for example, on MSNBC, where at night you have these opinion-style hosts who really blend reporting, traditional reporting, and being an opinionated host. And it's caused this kind of change in how the media works, whereas it's no longer this clear line between editorializing and fact-based reporting. And a lot of that has to do with him, and a lot of that also has to do with, you know, he was pushing a certain narrative at Fox News, and they really pioneered this focus on one story. They would take a couple storylines each day, and that would be what they would absolutely focus on, regardless, whereas traditional news was, okay, we have to cover these certain headlines every day, the most important news of the day.
So now that the camera has turned on Fox itself and we're getting a glimpse of a possible internal culture that may be distasteful, that may have been somewhat tolerant of sexual harassment, possibly, according to some women, and that corporate higher-ups may have either not known or looked the other way, neither of them are very flattering scenarios. What do you make of what's been going on in-house at Fox all these years?
I mean, it really, what strikes me from talking to people at Fox is that, and other reporting that has come up, lots of credit also to Gabriel Sherman, let me say, who has really been at the forefront of all of this, is that it comes off as kind of a Mad Men-esque culture, kind of a boys club where you could obviously be a very successful woman there, but there was a lot of emphasis on looks. There was a lot of emphasis on what looks good with the sound off at Fox News. And there was a bit of a tolerance for it. I'm starting to hear, after this has all broken out, stories regarding other people at Fox News, not just Roger Ailes. We obviously had the Bill O'Reilly case of a few years ago with a producer accusing him of sexual harassment. And it seems like, whereas in other corporate cultures, this might have automatically gone up and been taken care of, or might have gotten a bigger reaction. There was also a fear amongst employees of coming forward. And it was part of this culture that you're kind of always being watched and you have to be careful of it.
This is On Point. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in for Tom Ashbrook. And we're talking this hour about the internal drama at Fox News and the leadership change happening there. You can join this conversation. With Roger Ailes out, do you see an opportunity for Fox News to change its place in the conservative media world? Do you want that? Do you think if Fox News softens its approach, that's a positive or a negative thing for political coverage? Gabriel Sherman is with us. He is national affairs editor at New York Magazine, and so is Hadass Gold, a media reporter for Politico. Gabe and Hadass, let's go back 20 years to 1996, when Fox News first came on the scene. It was intended to be a conservative alternative to mainstream media. It quickly went from this fledgling cable news startup to a national phenom that outranked CNN. For many people, came to represent conservative America, be the voice of conservative America. Gabe, can you sum up for us how much impact, how revolutionary was Fox?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And it's now turning out to be a grand irony that really the story that put Fox News on the map was Bill Clinton's sex scandal with Monica Lewinsky in 1998, when 2 years after Ailes launched Fox in 96, it really kind of was struggling. And it clicked with conservative viewers who were hungry for any story that really attacked the Clinton administration in the late 90s. And from that moment, Fox galvanized conservatives, and that powered the network through the recount of vote of 2000 and then the attacks of September 11th, and then you take that all the way through the start of the Iraq War. And really, as I write also in my book, I think the main one of the main impacts that Fox News has had was, as Hadass said, not only on Fox viewers, but as moving the entire American media to the right. You know, the months after 9/11, Fox led the charge of this jingoistic and nationalistic style of programming that MSNBC embraced, CNN embraced, and, you know, really it reshaped and reframed the way Americans thought about issues like terrorism and national security. And so the changes that Ailes has wrought have been vast on the American political landscape.
And Fox became so politically and culturally influential that some major Republican electoral victories are attributed to it. Fair to say?
Yes, you know, clearly George W. Bush's reelection in 2004, you know, was part of this groundswell of support for his policies on terrorism and the war in Iraq, when clearly a lot of the news coverage elsewhere was showing that the war was going badly, and Fox helped paint John Kerry. We should point out, as I reported again in my book, that the Swift boat attacks that were launched on John Kerry's Vietnam service was debuted and rolled out on Fox News, and the network gave, you know, a prominent coverage to what was effectively a political smear that helped. And, you know, John Kerry was a flawed candidate in many ways, but his inability to recover from that was a testament to the power of Ailes' network.
Hadass Gold, in terms of the influence that Fox has had on culture and politics, there are certainly people who feel like it's debased political coverage. It's lowered the quality. It's made it loud, not in a good way. Other people think it's been a critical, important addition, that it allows us to hear voices that weren't being heard before, conservative voices. How would you summarize its impact?
I mean, as Gabe said, it really had a huge impact on conservative and Republican politics. I mean, there was a feeling often amongst Republican candidates, Republican politicians, that you had to go on Fox News. It wasn't even a question. You had to go on there. You had to deal with them. They were such a force, and they are quite a force in the media, to the point that, you know, Democratic politicians, liberal politicians who might otherwise not want to step foot over there, have to reckon with their power. I mean, this is the highest rated cable channel that we have, and they do wield incredible influence, not only in, you know, in terms of ratings, because when you look at their ratings, a 2 or 3 million rating, while huge amongst cable news, when you put it up against the rest of the population, isn't that big. But their influence in terms of the echo effect of how many, you know, influencers pay attention to them is hard to undermine. And so you have people like Hillary Clinton, who would probably otherwise rather not go on, does go on. And in terms of, you know, their reporting, they do very much pride themselves on having some, you know, what people would consider very traditional, legitimate, fact-based reporting. And they have a clear distinction, at least internally, between who is a reporter and who is more of an opinion host. But to the average American, it's hard to tell the difference, you know, between a Chris Wallace, when they see them on TV, and then 5 minutes later, they might see a Sean Hannity. They are considered very different people, but to the American public, they all see Fox News as the same, and that has greatly influenced not only politics, but how the rest of the media responds to politics.
Let's go to Peter, who is calling from Lexington, Kentucky. Peter, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Sasha.
Hi, what are your thoughts as you hear all this?
Well, as I'm listening to it, and I should underscore my own biases, I am a committed liberal, but I'm drawing a picture of mainstream media that does not include Fox, because everybody tends to disagree with news stories that don't agree with them. But mainstream media seems to get criticized from both sides, which is good. Fox came on the scene with a very open political bias. I don't find it unusual that Roger Ailes qualifies as a member of the Old Boy Network. And I find it persuasive that he should be subjected to these kinds of attacks, because that was his purpose, to make Fox a political outlet,
Peter,
rather than a news network that sometimes covers stories from one angle and sometimes covers them from the other angle.
Peter, thank you for that. We have a number of callers on the board. Let's go through several of them before we bring our guests back. Next is Artie calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Artie, welcome to On Point.
Hi. So I just wanted to talk about, like, how Trump himself seems to be like a product of what Fox News has been producing for all these years. Like, it seems like all the sort of vitriol that you see on, like, the talk show, the editorial portions of Fox News is something he just spouts back, right? Like on The Five and like Fox and Friends. Like, he's just taking all that. I'm not sure he himself can tell the difference between what is the news portion of Fox and what is the editorial portion of Fox.
Artie, thanks for that. Interesting to note here is that for many people, the toughest questions asked of Trump this campaign have come from Fox, from Megyn Kelly, who put questions to him about his treatment of women. So Fox played a role when many people thought it may toss softballs, and it didn't. So that's worth noting. Let's bring in one more caller. This is Fred from Oxford, Connecticut. Fred, welcome to you to On Point.
Hi, Sasha. I was calling specifically to address comments made regarding Roger Ailes as being innovative in blending, opinion-based news with also the facts, and setting up, you know, this culture where these new mainstream media will be just dead set on a certain number of stories, regardless of what is actually going on. And I just wanted to comment, you know, saying that, is that really a positive thing, you know?
That it wasn't a blending as so much as a blurring is your question.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for that. That's Fred from Oxford, Connecticut. Gabe Sherman, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, you know, I think to your listener's comment about Fox being a political organization, you know, I think that is without question, and the reporting bears that out, and it's one of the great PR public relations campaigns that Roger Ailes has pulled off in his, you know, 50-plus year career as a Republican political strategist and a media executive, was convincing not only the viewers but the rest of the media that Fox News was a traditional news organization that just happened to have a conservative point of view. It never was a news organization. While it employs some journalists, it was fundamentally a political organization that Roger Ailes set up to advance his agenda and the agenda of the Republican Party. And that goes down to the way the network operates. Every morning there's a morning meeting where Roger Ailes and his top executives distribute talking points that then filter down through the producers. Roger Ailes monitors everything's on the screen. He has an enemies list that punishes people that he disagree with that he'll banish from the air. So really there is a culture of this is a political campaign. And it's just remarkable that for 20 years Fox News has had a front row seat in the White House briefing room and been treated in many ways like a news network when its aims and its values were fundamentally different. It was the values of politics, not journalism.
Let's go back to the current events that have led Fox to have what some people are calling its existential crisis. It's losing of its co-founder, Roger Ailes, this sense of an internal corporate culture that tolerated sexual harassment, corporate managers, high-level executives who didn't step in or didn't know what was going on. Hadass Gold, give us a little sense of because not only was there this corporate culture issue, but if people spoke up, there was a sense that they could be retaliated against, that you could be spied on. Tell us a little bit about that sort of black room, black ops allegations being made.
Oh, a lot of this is credit, again, to Gabe Sherman's reporting. But there was always a sense within Fox News that everything was being very carefully monitored. And as media reporters who report on Fox News, we can definitely say that we were always very carefully monitored. I would sometimes tweet something out without even really thinking about it, and within 5 minutes have a phone call from a public relations person at Fox News asking me about something I tweeted. So, you know, but internally it was the same way. And I would sometimes speak to anchors or correspondents, sometimes for rather innocuous stories, just trying to get their take on something. And you always had to go through the public relations department, which was really more than just a public relations department. They really, like Abe said, they were almost like a political operation, the same way that you might treat a candidate and you might have their communications department really advocating for and protecting the brand of the candidate. The same was with the Fox public relations department. And there was a fear amongst some. I think CNN has also reported this, that, for example, their phones were being monitored. You know, sometimes I would email or try to call somebody within Fox News, and they would always want to move it on to a personal email or personal phone or do it via social media because of this fear that anything they said they could get in trouble with. And I would hear from, you know, even just contributors who would say, you know, oh, I said something, or I said something on a different show, or I said something in, you know, gave a quote to somewhere, and they immediately would get a call from the public relations department. And that was internally. So public relations wasn't just, you know, for the external media reporters, but it was also internally for their own correspondents.
That's right. These reports of surveillance campaigns, particularly among journalists covering Ailes. Brian Stelter of CNN, formerly of The New York Times, said last week that Fox had sent a staffer to pretend to date him when, in fact, that person was actually gathering intel for Fox. Here's how Brian explained it.
About 10 years ago, I had a crush on a woman at Fox News. She was a low-level staffer. I was in college at the time. So I was going out with what I thought were dates, because I thought these were dates. These were not dates. She was actually reporting back to Fox News about me. She was reporting back about what I thought of her and about CNN and MSNBC and Fox. Because I was a reporter on the beat, they were actually spying on me that way. Now, I didn't think that was a big deal at the time. I thought it was the way Fox operates. Fox is a political organization.
Yeah.
But now we know they were actually sending out private investigators.
Gabriel Sherman of New York Magazine, based on your reporting, does that sound like business as usual at Fox News?
Yes, and clearly business as usual for Roger Ailes. You know, his use of spies to gather intelligence on his adversaries is a tactic he's used going back to the Richard Nixon campaign in 1968. I reported an episode that was, you know, chilling, his 20-year abusive relationship with Lori Loon, a former Fox booker. And when they met in the late 1980s, he put her on a retainer at his then public relations company. And one of her jobs to be was on call for Roger Ailes would be to go around Washington and go to bars and be his, quote, eyes and ears, as she told me, in Washington for Ailes and report back to him. So using third parties and surrogates as intelligence sources is something that Roger Ailes has done for decades. And I just want to touch on one other point that that Hadass mentioned. I think this kind of the sort of reference that Fox News is a madman culture, I think while the sexual harassment component is very much like the television show, what really makes it something much darker and more troublesome is the way they use surveillance and control to suppress any employees from speaking up about abuse that they have suffered at Fox. You know, Roger Ailes, through my reporting, I've learned, had access to the entire Fox News email system. And in fact, on his Fox News computer, he had set up an alert system so that anyone typed the words Roger or Ailes, he'd get an alert, and then they would read that person's email. So he was constantly monitoring how employees were speaking about him. And this created such a chilling effect that people at Fox News just stopped using his name. They would refer to him as the boss or the chairman. And this kind of control and chilling of open communication is so antithetical to the way a newsroom should operate, and I think goes a long way to explain how these serial allegations of harassment were able to be kept silent for two decades, when at another organization like NBC or CNN, this kind of behavior would clearly be exposed to the public.
Based on your reporting, do you think higher-ups didn't know or looked the other way?
Well, it's clear that, at least in the case of Diane Brandy, the general counsel that we were speaking about earlier, knew. She personally settled the case brought by Lori Loon for a $3.1 million settlement when Lori Loon alleged harassment of Roger Ailes. And she also settled many other cases of women who had made allegations against other executives. So, you know, clearly in the senior management ranks, there was an awareness that sexual harassment allegations were going on. And again, what I find so troublesome is that rather than speaking to human resources or even taking it up to the corporate parent to say this kind of behavior is going on and it's not appropriate, instead of doing that, they basically did everything they could to silence these women. And I just want to point out that Bill Shine, who is now the president of Fox News, was promoted by Rupert Murdoch, helped hide Lori Loon, the former booker that was in a 20-year abusive relationship with Ailes, by stashing her in a New York City hotel for weeks on end. He was monitoring her emails, and he was effectively trying to keep her silent. This was in the late 2000s, because Roger Ailes was worried that she might go public. So there we have a case of Bill Shine actively trying to keep this woman from going to the press about her experience.
Gabe Sherman, before we go to a break, you have some firsthand experience with what you consider to be Fox News' surveillance.
Yes, so while I was working on my biography of Roger Ailes, he set up what is now known as the Black Room. It was on the 14th floor of Fox News, and it was staffed by political operatives who set up fake websites to smear and attack my name. They hired private investigators to tail me and my wife, who was she had left her job at the New Yorker magazine to be an editor and researcher on my book project. And so I was the target, and we should point out other journalists were as well, of an intimidation campaign. I received a death threat at home. And I had to take my number off of my website, even though as a reporter I wanted to be accessible. I was feeling threatened about people being able to find me. And so this was an attempt, again, to chill my reporting, which are so contrary to the values of journalism.
This On Point podcast and following message are brought to you by Goldman Sachs. For answers to the world's most pressing economic questions, from the future of finance to the disruptive potential of artificial intelligence, tune in to Exchanges at Goldman Sachs, the firm's podcast. Each episode features in-depth discussions with some of the firm's leading experts on the markets, evolving industries, and the global economy. Subscribe to Exchanges at Goldman Sachs on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, or listen at gs.com/podcast.
This is On Point. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in for Tom Ashbrook, and we're talking about the conservative media landscape and Fox News without Roger Ailes. Join this conversation. Let us know how you see the Trump effect on political journalism affecting this election cycle, especially with Trump calling the media corrupt. Republican voters, Republican listeners, where are you turning for your news? You can also follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Gabriel Sherman is still with us. He's national affairs editor at New York Magazine and author of the unauthorized biography of Roger Ailes called The Loudest Voice in the Room. Also still with us is Hadass Gold, a media reporter for Politico. And joining us now from New York is Matthew Boyle. He is Washington political editor of Breitbart News, another media outlet in the conservative landscape. Matthew Boyle, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Sasha. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So you've been listening as we've been talking. Give us a sense of your take on what is going on at Fox, your sense of the corporate culture and how momentous these changes in the existing management will be.
Well, I think you're already seeing kind of a change in the way that the on-air, the narrative that Fox offers on-air operates. I think, you know, when Roger Ailes was kind of at the top of things, you would see a decided narrative that would trickle down through most of the shows. There was a Fox point of view, an in-house point of view. What's happened since Ailes has been gone, and it's unclear if this is going to be going to kind of refix itself down the road here, but for the meantime, the time being, is it's kind of like the Wild West in there. It's almost like Lord of the Flies. That's kind of how we've described it. Is basically, it's kind of Sean Hannity's doing his thing, and you've got Bill O'Reilly doing his thing, Megyn Kelly's doing her thing. There's not really any, direct line of managed narrative from the top.
And you think there used to be that? You think there was some uniformity coming down from above?
Yeah, I think there was from the top, there was definitely a direction that this is the party line. This is what Fox News' narrative is today.
And do you think people are strained from the party line with his absence?
I don't think there is a party line with his absence right now. I don't know if that will, kind of repair itself down the road with if Bill Shine or the Murdoch kids will kind of take over and push up a new party line and develop that.
The Murdoch kids, we should note, we're talking about Rupert's sons, Lachlan and James, who James is CEO, Lachlan executive chairman. They've basically been primed since childhood to take over their father's company.
Mm-hmm. And so the question is whether or not Fox kind of continues to operate the way they have with this vacuum where kind of every host is kind of doing their own thing, or if not, do they go back towards the right, or do they go to the center, politically speaking, that is, or do they kind of keep it the way it is right now, where kind of, you've got different hosts and guest hosts that are doing their own thing.
Lachlan Murdoch has indicated no major editorial shift. Do you expect to see one?
I don't know. It's going to be one of the most interesting stories to watch, I think, over the coming months here. I know a lot of the anchors and talent at Fox, and a lot of them are pretty confident that they're going to keep, that they're going to be able to do what they want to do on their shows, but at this time, it's unclear kind of if they're going to reestablish a party line. But the thing that's happened since Ailes has been gone, I think the biggest thing is that there's been almost a vacuum where there is no party line anymore.
So, yeah, Matthew Boyle,
we should just point out this is that Bill Shine's promotion is a sign that Murdoch is not intending to change Fox politics from conservative to the center or the left. He was originally Sean Hannity's producer and is closely aligned with the very conservative right-wing style of programming that Roger Ailes pushed at Fox. So that at least is a signal that the politics are going to stay firmly rooted on the right.
Matthew Boyle of Breitbart News, when you see what you call a vacuum at Fox, do you see that as an opportunity for rival conservative media outlets?
Yeah, look, we've seen explosive growth at Breitbart over the course of this year. In fact, our last month was the best month in the history of the company here at Breitbart News. We had 192 million page views, 31 million unique visitors, and we're booming in month-on-month growth. I think the same thing is kind of happening at some other right-of-center media outlets. One of the things we've tried to do at Breitbart is build a news organization that's completely independent and does not require dependence on anybody else, whether that be Fox News or any other outlet for that matter. And so I think we've successfully done that. And as we continue to grow and hire reporters and do our own independent reporting out there from the ground, I mean, we're ahead of the narrative. And there's opportunities for us to get ahead of stories that there probably wouldn't have been such an opportunity maybe a decade ago.
Let's go to some callers. This is Mark from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Mark, welcome to On Point.
Hello, Sasha. How are you?
Good, good. What do you think as you hear all this?
My question, first of all, I'd like to observe that it was Roger Ailes who reintroduced America to Richard Nixon in 1968.
Ailes was a media advisor to Nixon way back.
Yes. And he approached Nixon and said, you know, we can do this. But my question is, can Fox create a new, go in a new direction and create a new persona in the future in any way approaching the mainstream media, conservative or not? Because my concern is over the last 20 years with all the speech and the right-wing rhetoric, can they truly redirect more toward the center successfully?
Let's before we have our guest answer that, let's go to another caller. This is Jean calling from Moorhead, Kentucky. Jean, welcome to On Point.
Hi. My question for your guest today would mostly be, if they believe that just the progress of Fox News over the...
Gene, we lost you. You started to say the progress of Fox News over...
the past 20 years, they've pushed everything so far to the right. You know, is there any way in journalism that we can get back to the constitutional purpose of journalism, where it's a fair, free discussion? I think that Fox's role in all this has been paramount to, you know, confusing and blurring those lines. And I think with the spying that's been going on within the Fox News Network and Mr. Ailes' role with the Richard Nixon campaign, it'd be a very valid question for the viewers to ask themselves, is this the kind of America that they want, or do they really want a free press?
Well, Gene, some people think that Fox was a reflection of free press, that it brought in conservative voices that weren't being heard. It added new perspectives to the political conversation. Do you not see it that way?
I do not see it that way. The way I see it is that they pushed so far to the right that other networks like MSNBC and CNN have had to move so far left that in the general viewership's mind, those sources aren't trustworthy either. And we've run out of trustworthy sources for our news.
Thanks for that. And let's hear from another caller. This is Melissa from Charlotte, North Carolina. Melissa, welcome to On Point.
Hi. I think, you know, what we're seeing here, especially in this presidential election, is the result of Fox News being not only allowed to run with a message, but encouraged by the Republican leadership to throw everything so far to the right and to put news stories out there that are that create fear and divisiveness and not be questioned by it. And then in the result is a candidate such as Donald Trump, and people are surprised at the result. But what has happened is we have cable news that's come on the scene rather than network news, which used to give you your news without the entertainment value. And then you have a 24-hour news cycle now that is pulled away from news and more just trying to gain viewers.
Melissa, thank you for that. Hadass Gold, a question for you that in some ways reflects different points the callers have made, which is that there is this kind of striking symmetry between the troubles going on with Ailes and Fox and the troubles within the GOP as the Trump presidency really splits the Republican Party in many ways. Do you feel like there is is this a complete coincidence that these things are happening at the same time, or do they somehow feed on each other?
I definitely don't think it's a coincidence. They clearly feed on each other, and it is really fascinating to see how both the Republican Party and the conservative media landscape has really changed. But they are clearly reflections of one another, and I feel like Matt would be able to talk a lot about this. That I don't know if necessarily there was always a clear, you know, everybody on the right was all on the same page on most things, but they were a little bit more united, and I think that maybe that was also because we just came through 8 years of an Obama presidency. But I I don't completely agree with people who say that one thing created Donald Trump or one thing created something like that. I think it is a clear, just like perfect storm of situations, because you could say the same thing about like CNN. I mean, Jeff Zucker, who runs CNN right now, was at NBC when they brought on Donald Trump as The Apprentice. And it's just all of these things together have created the situation that we're in now. And Donald Trump has proven to be the master of taking advantage of a situation to reach his goals. And he is doing that now. I would like to note that everybody who always, you know, laments the lost objectivity of the old days of the constitutional meaning of a free press. I mean, if you look back in history in American media, in the very beginning, you know, a lot of media, a lot of these newspapers, these pamphlets were actually funded by people with clear political point of views or even political parties themselves. This era that people are talking about is often, I think, like, you know, the 50s and 60s, and we had the evening network newscasts and the Walter Cronkites. But even Walter Cronkite would sometimes come out and take a stand on things, and those were considered the huge moments. I feel like Tom Brokaw sometimes does that still nowadays, but there has never been, you know, a long period of decades upon decades of pure objective journalism, and it's really become something that readers and listeners and viewers need to do upon themselves to get a variety of viewpoints. But now in our current social media society, you can create a little echo chamber for yourself.
I want to go back to the internal corporate culture at Fox, because that's what resulted in the sex abuse allegations that resulted, or sexual harassment allegations that resulted in Ailes being ousted. And I want to have you weigh in on whether what matters, does it matter in terms of political coverage, in terms of what's happening in-house? So if there's a corporate culture that allows this kind of behavior, does that have any impact on the news that Fox is distributing? So here's a montage of Gretchen Carlson, Fox's Gretchen Carlson, Fox and Friends co-host Brian Kilmeade and Steve Doocy. They're making comments about Gretchen Carlson's physical appearance, and these are clips compiled by Bloomberg Politics.
You know, I was at Liberty last night, and some guy came up to me and said, I saw you on Fox and Friends this morning. Is Gretchen as cute in person as she is on TV?
And what did you answer, America?
Gorgeous. Look at her today. Beautiful dress. You look wonderful. Gretchen,
how are you?
You look wonderful. Gretchen, very, very beautiful dress. Though. Great color. Right? In summary, Gretchen's beautiful.
Beautiful. You look beautiful.
Well,
Thank you.
Again, that was a montage. And now one more piece of sound. This is one of the women who have come forward with allegations of sexual harassment. She's Kelly Boyle, a 27-year-old political strategist. She claims that Ailes asked her to be his, quote, special friend, unquote, perform sexual acts on him, possibly other powerful men. And she spoke in July on NPR's Morning Edition and talked about advances Roger Ailes made, she says, in the back of a car after they had dinner together.
As soon as we settled back into the car, he looked at me and said, if you want to play with the big boys, you're going to have to lay with the big boys.
Gabe Sherman, as we hear these stories and we see Fox trying to shake up management within, does this have a connection to its news? Are these two completely different issues?
Well, I mean, there's a direct connection. And I think one of the main storylines that Fox has pushed and the right, you know, including Donald Trump, wants to push this election cycle is Bill Clinton's history of infidelity and use it as an attack line against Hillary Clinton. And I think it doesn't take a master's degree in public relations to know that it's kind of neutralizes that attack line if Fox News's longtime chairman and CEO was also alleged to be a serial sexual harasser. So I think, you know, politically, and what the product you're going to see on the screen at Fox could be affected by what's happening behind the cameras, because it's going to neutralize a story that they were going to hope to push aggressively.
Matthew Boyle of Breitbart, do you think that Fox News can exist as it is now known without Roger Ailes, given the influence he had over it?
Yeah, sure. I think that they're going to continue to be there for a long time, though given new technology that's come out, too, over the last little bit here, it's not just the new political environment. It's the fact that there's widespread access, easy access to the Internet, smartphones, et cetera. There are naturally going to be competitors like us that emerge. But it's not like I expect Fox News to die away and die a quick bloody death here, like just because Roger Ailes is gone. I mean, there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of resources there. They've got a lot of reporters, producers, and anchors, et cetera. They're still standing. It's just because Roger Ailes is gone doesn't mean Fox News is going away. I think you're going to see, you know, some changes in the corporate culture and changes in the way that we've already been seeing kind of on air. But I don't think they're going away anytime soon.
Hadass Gold, world. Do you agree with that? Can no one person be so indispensable that when they go away, an organization fundamentally changes?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Fox News model has clearly worked very well for them in terms of the ratings, and they are very dominant, and they will definitely not change, especially with the appointment of somebody like Bill Shein, who, from a few anchors I've talked to, they really do like him, and he is politically, if anything, a little bit to the right of Roger Ailes, from what I understand. Nothing's going to change anytime soon, especially before this election. What is something that will have to change amongst Fox News is if you look at the demographics of their viewers, they're old. And that is something that Fox has to contend with. And a lot of people have pointed to somebody such as Megyn Kelly, who appeals to a slightly younger group of viewers. That is an incredibly important factor that they're going to have to consider. And a lot of TV has to consider is that I think the average viewer for somebody like Bill O'Reilly is something in the low 70s. That is the average age of their viewer. And that I think more than perhaps even the politics of things is what they're going to have to figure out how to adjust in order to continue to attract the younger viewers when you have your competitors such as CNN starting to gain in that important younger demographic.
And Gabe Sherman, would you close us out? In your view, what does Fox look like without the man who founded it, co-founded it, almost single-handedly ran it for the past 20 years?
I think, again, I sort of agree with my fellow guests. I think it will still continue to dominate the ratings in the short term, but I think we're going to see, you know, a gradual realignment in the cable news landscape. CNN has already, you know, passed Fox on big news nights, and with the growth of new outlets like Breitbart and others, you know, Fox is a very limited digital offering. It was not something that Roger Ailes invested a lot in. He didn't care about the internet. And so I think over time, after 2016, we're going to see a realignment on the right of the most powerful and dominant conservative media voices.
And a potential for others to emerge.
Exactly.
That was Gabe Sherman. He's national affairs editor at New York Magazine. We've also been talking with Hadass Gold, a media reporter for Politico, and to Matthew Boyle, a Washington political editor for Breitbart News. Thanks to all three of you for spending this hour with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, you can continue this conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. You can also follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. We've been talking about the ouster of Roger Ailes, how that may change the future of Fox News. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.